welcome to WNHH Radio's Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. We have a special guest in the studio today, former U.S. Congressman Sam Gageson. He's going to help us understand what exactly is happening in that Potomac swamp he called home for more than two decades. Sam is probably the smartest and most informed person I know about politics, government, and the world. So it's an honor to have him here. And also a special thanks to Yellow Haven Hospital for providing support for today's program. Sam, welcome back.
Nice to be here. There was that old political joke about, I wish my parents would be here. My mother would have believed it. My father would have enjoyed it. That's the extent of where we are.
Now, Sam, you served from what year to what year?
1980 or 81.
80 was the election. 81, yeah, you were sworn in.
I always get that wrong. And then till 2000, and then the people finally thought better of it.
Two decades is a long time.
It is a long time. And every year I was there, the country got worse off. In my defense, when I left, it even got worse.
Well, Sam, what do you think now? So this week...
Well, I think we're winning way too much.
What do you mean?
You know, that we were told
you're a Democrat,
we'd get tired of winning.
Well, and I explain think that to me. Like, stopping Republicans from doing
things. The president said, when he was running for president, among his other insane pronouncements, that we would get tired of winning. Things would be so good. Hmm. And apparently, we must be tired of winning. He's been there for 6 months or so. Everything must be going great.
Well, Sam, one thing that's going on, I'm going to ask Sam to get real close to the mic, if you don't mind.
Okay, close to the mic. All right, go ahead.
So, Anthony Scaramucci was definitely my favorite Trump administration appointee to date, and he lasted only 10 days. He was fired this week, and a bunch of people have been fired. Does it matter?
Well, it's a big in deal. An Everyone's optimistic a big note, the one thing about the military is they are disciplined, and the replacement chief of staff may be able to bring order to the chaos. Not sufficient to make up for the failures within the president and his own shortcomings, but it hopefully would at least make things work better.
And why do we care whether or not there's chaos in the Oval Office?
Because, well, there are two views on that.
Right.
One is, more chaos, the less damage he can do to the country. And, his inability to do basic homework leaves him in a position where he can't even articulate his own positions from day to day. I mean, the healthcare debate is a perfect example. When he ran, he was going to give us better healthcare for less money, with less government, more choices. It was going to be better. It was going to be the best healthcare you're going to ever have. Then the Republicans passed a piece of junk out of the House, and he said, "This is great. We're having a party at the White House. Everybody come down here. We're going to show you how terrific this healthcare is." And then he said, "Oh, that's terrible health care. We're going to do a Senate bill." And he was for three bills in 4 days, none of which he understood the details of.
All right. So his big picture was he thought Obamacare doesn't work. We got to get rid of Obamacare. We got to do something new.
I think you're overthinking it. I think
that didn't seem so overthought to me.
Yeah, I think he thought, I said we're going to give him different health care during the campaign, and that's what we're going to do. I mean, what he says and what he does are really irrelevant. So, for instance, he complained about Obama's traveling budget. He has now spent more going to his golf courts, than Obama spent in 8 years, I think, traveling. He also goes and plays golf at his places because it increases their value.
Do you think it's okay for the government to be spending money for him to be going to his own places?
Well, normally a president is not so out of touch with what is proper that you didn't have to worry about.
What is improper about him going to his golf
courses? Well, one, these are places he profits from. He personally and his family profit from every one of these trips. He eats there in public, makes it more difficult for the Secret Service because it helps make money for the golf courses and his other property. So it's clear what he's doing, and he doesn't like to work. I mean, he likes to make pronouncements and go away. So we're spending a lot of money protecting New York and his golf courses when he goes there, and it's only to enrich the president. And apparently the public, or at least the Republican majority in Congress, hasn't yet been affected by his abuse of power.
Harry Jost, do you have any thoughts of that? As the last person defending Donald Trump in New Haven, the bravest man in New Haven?
You know, let me say before he speaks, I have a friend in Tajikistan. Mother just recently passed away. She was still a big supporter of Stalin, as of a few years ago.
What about those 2 points Sam made? The president going to his own, spending all this government money to profit himself at these resorts he has. And what was the first point, Sam, that I thought he might want to respond to?
Well, and most presidents have the decency and decorum not to abuse the White House like this guy has.
Not to abuse the White House? In what fashion?
In what fashion? In the sense that he's using taxpayer money to increase the profitability of his golf course.
Yeah, does that bother you at all, Harry?
Wait, so you're saying when he goes to his golf course, he's profiting off of the government because he's staying there?
Immediately, the Secret Service and everybody has to rent rooms.
That's what you have a problem with?
Yeah, they
No. That's the least of my problems with him. The fact that his policies are anti-American are undermining
anti-American capitalism. Anti-American.
America's more than capitalism. You know, if you read the founding fathers, particularly the guy who's got the musical on Broadway that's so popular these days, is the country was designed to kind of put a balance in there. And one of the things that the first Secretary of the Treasury worried about were demagogues exploiting the common rabble to destroy the democracy. We have a country where millions of people are denied the right to vote by Republicans who designed the system so it's harder for minorities to register and to be able to vote, not trying to help them vote. And they have a commission looking for fake non-voters. Now, in all the studies they've been doing on voting, they found maybe one or two people, and they voted Republican, but virtually non-existent in America. So he's undermining the faith in the system, as he did all through the campaign. And on top of that, he's got a commission designed to try to stop minorities from voting.
Harry,
you think that's American?
That?
Is that what America's all about?
Well,
I'm an immigrant to this country.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's an immigrant.
Well, I'm an actual immigrant.
He was actually born in a displaced person's camp.
Now, here's the thing. So actually expecting people to show an ID when they vote is racism or denying somebody the freedom?
Okay, wait, stop on that one. I'll go through all of them. So here's what you do. You first say you have to have a government ID to be able to vote.
That's why you first say when you're impeding on somebody's rights, right?
Then you close all the public facilities in poor people's areas so they can't get those. Just like federally, you can register at a motor vehicle department, but not at a welfare office. What does that mean? Why would you do that?
Okay, so
unless you were targeting poor people.
Harry, do you really feel like the southern states that closed all the offices and the polling places near black polling districts weren't doing that with an agenda? I mean, they don't really deny that.
Even the courts have decided they were trying.
Republican judges decided that was going on, Harry.
Look, if that was going on, I'm against it.
Going on. Harry. No.
Okay, look.
It's summertime. It's hot. The Republicans are in control, and they're doing that.
And
that's wrong.
I hear you. Let's just say, just so you feel better, but it's going on. Okay? I'm against it. Look.
That's what Republicans are doing.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere,
ooh,
right?
Good. We're getting closer together.
I'm there with you. But now you're seeing the boogeyman behind everything.
Okay, let's look at what happened. The Supreme Court, controlled by Republicans, throws out the voting rights protection in southern states that had for decades practiced procedures to keep black people from voting. Within days of the Supreme Court decision, southern states started closing polling places and shutting down registration services in black and other minority areas. What does that tell you? That it was a plan?
Now look, hold on. I know, see, my thing is, and I've seen plenty of videos of people in New York, people of color. Do you have an ID? Of course I have an ID. Well, the government thinks you can't get an ID. Well,
No. Theoretical people in New York. We're talking about actual large portions of southern states that have closed virtually every place you can get a government ID unless you drive hours. It's kind of like abortion.
So it's kind of like Obamacare, where people can't get... What?
Okay, let's go to Obamacare. Well,
people can't see their doctors because there's only one, or some people have no providers.
Well, let me say...
How about when you don't have insurance so you can't see a doctor? What's the difference
having Obamacare, not being able to pay the deductible, not being able to pay the copay,
and not even having a provider? I got a solution for you. Let's do universal health care like the rest of the rational world. Yeah,
we couldn't afford Obamacare, but we could afford single payer. Well, let's do
that. Harry, take a look at the facts. Canada, national health care, spends about half of what we spend.
Talk to Canadians who suffer under that system.
Canadians want to keep their system
because there's no other option for them. When you create options for people, they actually go.
Yes,
but wait, Harry, you didn't respond.
You have options for rich people. Wait,
go ahead. But wait, you said something you didn't respond to. Harry said that we can't afford it. You said Canada spends half.
Most of the
we spend the most from any
right, and nation. we don't have better outcomes. What does that tell you? No, we don't.
When you look at
Western Europe, Israel, every other democracy in the world, the countries that we fight for England, to protect, France. Canada, all those countries have national health care. They have better outcomes, and it costs less money by about 30 to 40%. So, let's look at Medicare. Medicare's old people without Medicare wouldn't have health care. No insurance company would take them. It costs less. It does a better job. So you tell me it gets tricky sometimes to see a doctor. I have Blue Cross CMS or whatever it's called. My doctor says, great, call me in 2 months. You know, there are problems in the system.
The problem is the healthcare industry, the greedy for-profit industry, right. Business models based
and
on
guess,
divine
and
care.
And guess who? And it's both sides who allow the lobbyists to come in.
Yeah,
You look at what Obama did. With the pharmaceutical companies, the health care companies. He gave money away.
No, he didn't give money away.
Yes, he did.
No, without disrupting the terrible system we have, he helped pay
without
the premium.
Without disrupting it, he made it worse.
Well, let me tell you something.
He disrupted it big time.
Call me if your boy gets the chance.
People have it worse with health care now when they didn't have it before?
First off, that number is such a lie.
Okay, let's
not
read.
It's even a lie here in Connecticut where they started counting people who were already on Medicaid and on Husky, and they inflated their numbers.
Okay, that's not accurate.
It is accurate.
So why are Republican senators getting such backlash from people who didn't have health insurance before, do have it now under Obamacare? As a matter of fact, they didn't have public meetings with so many people yelling about it.
I agree with that.
So let's start off where we are. Do you think only rich people deserve to have health care?
No.
Okay, where do you want to cut it off?
Where do I want to cut
it off? So people
I think there should be a safety net, absolutely.
Okay. What's that safety net made out of?
What happens? Because Medicaid already exists.
No, Trump.
You're talking about Medicaid. And
no, Trump's getting rid of Medicaid.
They expanded Medicaid.
They're getting rid of Medicaid.
They're not.
They're cutting the funds.
They're block granting Medicaid so that governors
can do a better job.
Yeah,
look at Kansas. It's bankrupt as governors do a better job. So what happens is you give the governors less money than they need today. They screw people a little, and then you never increase it. That's the program, Harry.
Or you increase it
at 18%, and you never better the system like Obamacare.
So that's why you need single payer.
Single payer solves
the problem. Single payer solves nothing.
Why does it solve something in every other country in the world except for here?
It has not.
Show me one country that's having a big problem with single payer.
Canada has a problem with single payer.
So here's
I've seen plenty of testimonies from Canadians who are on a waiting list over a year who have heart conditions who have to come here.
Same thing here. But put that aside. So at one point, the Democrats
disregard those people who are actually having life and death issues with Canadian.
Every system, we have the same problem. You got to get slotted for your liver, for your heart condition, for everything else. But one of the things that's happened is, at one point, Congress said, geez, drug prices here cost 2, 3, 4 times as much as in Canada. So they put a bill in to let Americans go to Canada buy the drugs. The Republicans stopped it. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, that was under Bush.
Do you read a lot of Canadians dying from their drugs? Their drugs are just as safe as ours.
I'm with you there. We should be able to buy.
And you're with us on Dateline New Haven on WNHH Radio.
I'm not always against all ideas.
Live stream New Haven and Bend.org.
Just the socialist ones.
You're listening to Sam Gagezin, former U.S. representative, smartest guy around on politics. And Harry Joe is the bravest man in New Haven, WNHA studio manager, and a Donald Trump fan. Guys, we've solved health care.
Okay.
But what about Russia?
Well, here's, you know, if you look at the problem we have here is, again, I think it's two things. One, there's significant evidence that Trump's economic survival has depended on Russian gangsters.
And did you see that article in the New Republic?
I saw the article.
That was a
even
brilliant
before
article.
There's a million articles
Harry,
now.
Harry, you know that they said that they traced back on Trump Tower when Trump was bankrupt. The way he got back his fortune was that all these certified Russian gangsters were buying five apartments at a time, laundering money.
Oh, no, they gave him money. They bought his boats.
Some of them shot. And all the other projects he started, like in Florida, they said, put your name branding on a project and you'll get, you know, no money up. All of a sudden, all these Russian gangsters show up and start buying. And these are people who have been shot, have been arrested by the government, or have been sent out of the country because directly below Trump's apartment at Trump Tower, they're running a multi-million dollar gambling ring that got busted. These are people, prostitution, murder, drugs. These are the people from Russia
who have bankrolled
his entire economic renaissance. What, any thoughts on that?
Okay, so there's proof of that. Just
yes, there's proof. Yeah.
Because he was the landlord.
No,
that's
the every proof time he started that he got project, bailed out by
but,
Russian
but wait
gangsters.
A minute. Let me just make this clear because I don't care, right? Trump used to deal with New York gangsters. It was part of the business. Was he running for president then? Was he actually colluding with somebody
okay.
so that he could 20 years later run for president?
Okay.
I don't care
okay.
about
that.
But
now he's not saying we should let all the mobsters out of prison. But what he is saying is, okay, Putin took...
I tell you what he's saying. He just put more sanctions on Russia.
No,
he did not do that.
He did not do it.
Yeah,
you don't think that's a naive comment when he was opposing it in Congress and now he had to decide whether to defy Congress?
98...
What it's his signature.
No. Even he can count. 98 senators voted for it. Virtually every House member voted for it. So if he vetoed it, he'd look even stupider.
So here's something where Harry and I might disagree with you.
Okay.
I've been wondering, I believe it's very serious
Trump can count.
About the evidence that Russia tried to mess with our elections and they tried to break into databases the way they did in Ukraine during an election to try to make the results look different or mess with the voting rolls so there'll be confusion. I think there's little doubt that there's an important investigation here about Russian meddling in our election. There's no doubt they didn't like Hillary. But what I've yet to see, Sam, is evidence that Trump's people knowingly were working with Russians to swing the election. I found it very unconvincing that even though J.S. Sessions lied in his testimony about meeting with a Russian, the fact that he talked to an ambassador as a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee didn't really bother me. What bothers me more is Russia's attempts just to disrupt the system. And
that's clear, without a doubt, that's clear, that they tried to affect the news and that had...
But are you confident that they were colluding with Trump?
Well, I mean, I was less confident until, the kid had the meeting where they said, we want to meet with you because the Russian government wants to help you beat Hillary. And he said, great, I'd love to meet with you.
See, I wasn't even convinced that. There was a former CIA guy writing in the Times who said they think Putin's putting all that out and set up those kind of meetings just to burnish his own reputation. I'm not convinced that meeting meant anything.
Well, especially when the person that met with Trump Jr. was led in by the Obama administration, who had first revoked her visa and then suddenly let her back in. And then 2 weeks later, she's meeting with Don Jr. And then a week after that, she's sitting in Congress behind the Democrats.
Yeah, everything's the black guy's fault. Country was great until the black guy. Now we have a white guy.
You could do the race thing all you want.
Well, it's
facts
true.
Facts are facts.
Yeah, facts are facts.
Now, I found collusion. I just want you to know I found collusion because there is real collusion between Ukraine and the DNC and the Hillary campaign. Okay,
that's real.
Nobody's talking about that.
That's real.
No,
well,
that's
one,
actually
one,
real.
He's the president of the United States who stands.
So you
up.
Want to disregard what Hillary did? How about
no?
How about the collusion with Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
On what? Her guy got fired.
On what? It's not just on what. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the head of the DNC. She has professional hackers on her staff, and you guys want to wonder where all of these emails got leaked from? How about we start looking at the DNC?
Come on,
it's real.
Right. That's all real. and the president's doing a great.
Look, you guys live on conjecture, so come on.
No. There are facts out here. President of the United States publicly states he wants to be friends with Putin. Can I finish a sentence before you give me your?
Go ahead.
Putin took two provinces of Georgia, just marched in and took
more. Under Obama.
No. Okay, Harry, let's look at history. Under George Bush. George Bush was president.
He started. He
no,
yeah,
no,
right.
No, no,
he
started. He didn't start.
He takes Ukraine under
Obama. Right. So he takes Georgia.
And nobody did anything.
Can I just finish a sentence here, Harry? I know you're a very good guy. So he takes two provinces from Georgia with tanks, invades the country, drives around his tanks for 2 weeks. George Bush doesn't say peep. Fine.
It was at the end of his administration. You're right.
It wasn't the end. It was early enough they could have done something. Two, then he takes Crimea and he starts a war with Ukraine. Okay, Obama tries to do something short of war. Republican Congress doesn't give him a lot of support. Now Trump comes along and he wants to be buddies with a guy who's trying to intimidate all of Europe and all the former Soviet republics. Don't you think an American president, FDR, somebody who had some commitment to the values of this country and not the gangsters he did business with, would find that objectionable?
Yes.
You don't hear from your president.
No. I agree, right? And Obama, seeing what was happening in Georgia, right? Him and Hillary come up with the Russian reset, right?
And it didn't work. Yes, it didn't work.
And it didn't work. Right, and Obama didn't do anything to Putin time. And Ukraine is begging for weapons, and Obama wouldn't give it to them. Well, okay, so there's a lot of issues.
Okay, I'll explain why.
Oh, there's always a reason for Obama not doing the right thing.
It's the same thing the Trump people haven't done it yet. Because it's if you're not careful, you will just up the carnage. And so if we start moving in a lot of equipment, which the military guys got to figure out if we can complete the supply lines, have the people ready, trained, to deal with the equipment. But that's the same problem Trump's having.
That makes sense. So you're excusing Trump not doing anything.
No. He's not even rhetorically objecting to Putin's war on Ukraine, to the confiscation of Crimea and Georgia, and to all the other terrible things that he's done supporting Bashar al-Assad. It's like his buddy.
He's okay with the Philippines. Maybe praised North Korea's leader.
Maybe it has to do with Ukraine actually working against Trump during the election, actually colluding with Hillary, actually colluding with the DNC. Okay.
Let me ask you guys something that has nothing to do with Trump. I mean, it has to do with Trump, but not whether Trump's right or wrong or Obama's blame. We blame Obama for everything that ever happened, including under the George Bush administration. What about North Korea? What do we do now? They've tested a missile that can reach, allegedly, California, maybe even New York. Every president has said that's not acceptable. Sam, when you were in the Congress during the Clinton administration, I think the idea was, tell me if I'm wrong, every 10 years you send Bill Richardson to just kind of make some kind of deal where they get some money.
Or the basketball player. Who's the basketball player?
Yeah, Rodman. but they really had Richardson work in there where he would get some deal to buy us another 8 years, 10 years. But now there's no more time left to buy.
No.
What can we do?
Well, it's tricky because the big problem is that the South Koreans built Seoul. It's 35 miles from the artillery.
And does North Korea care about if they ever bombed
Seoul? No, they don't care. They don't care about any of it.
People would die as well.
They don't care. They're not rational people.
Really?
They wouldn't be starving their own.
You don't think they're rational?
Because if you're at all rational, you'd have at least some compassion for your own country. And their policies continuously undermine the health security and food security of their own people.
Sounds like the American United States government.
Well, some parts, but anyway. So I think the only answer here is we need, and that's one of the reasons I always say Trump is actually more dangerous internationally than he is domestically. Because I think we have actually a margin of error that's large enough because we're rich enough and have enough security that at some point the damage by Trump will be stopped. Although it's hard to figure out. I mean, the Republicans have basically made a deal with every devil they could to maintain control. Guns, racists, homophobes, you pick the group, they will be for it as long as they can maintain their ability to cut taxes for billionaires, because the fundamental position of the Republican Party is rich people don't have enough money, poor people have too much. So internationally, though, he has debased the value of an American president and his leadership globally. There are not a lot of countries that, you know, Europe's now looking to Germany, which long-term may be a good thing, because I think Europe for too long said, hey, this is great. We don't have to do anything. The Americans will take care of it.
So Trump was right about that.
I'm not talking about the budgets. Obama and everybody else started beating him up about the budgets. But even the leadership, they always, and we liked it because we didn't really have to consult with anybody. We wanted to do something. George Bush wanted to go to Kuwait once, the father, they said, okay, great, we're with you. Then they wanted to go a second time. And even Tony Blair said, well, I went with the last guy, so I'll go again. Turned out not so good. But what we have to do is we were, as Churchill said of the United States, as World War II developed, the indispensable nation. For a long time, England ran the world. And what World War II did is a couple of things. It bankrupted England. And it showed that the American leadership under Roosevelt, which the Republicans still hate, was essential to the world's future. And that has basically been the case since the end of World War II, that in every crisis, it's American leadership that has led the world, that has kept the world from exploding. Not that we haven't made mistakes. Kennedy made mistakes. Johnson made mistakes. Everybody made mistakes along the way. But America was the indispensable nation. Trump is changing that. And my hope is that it will force other nations to consider themselves adults.
So what do we do in North Korea?
In North Korea, I think we have to, you know, Trump thinks because he has a nice meal with the Chinese prime minister that they're friends and everything's going to work out okay. Chinese don't want a democracy on their doorsteps. Look what they're doing to Hong Kong. They prefer to have dictatorships around them so that people don't, you know, get the disease of wanting freedom. They have no interest in getting rid of North Korea. They like North Korea there. What we have to do is find ways to get other countries to join with us to tighten the screws on, and again, here's Russia's a problem. So the last time, at the beginning when the Chinese did a little something, they stopped shipping coal to China or reduced the amount of coal shipments they bought from Korea, the Russians picked it up immediately. And so they're both troublemakers, and we need to find a way to unify the West. And it's got to be a slow, long-term process. And then the other thing is we have to look at these things rationally. So, for instance, the Iranian nuclear agreement that Trump lambasted and all Republicans lambasted during the entire Obama presidency, they've just certified that the Iranians are following the rules. They penalized them for missile technology, but that wasn't part of the deal. When George Bush was president, the Iranians had under 200 centrifuges. And he decided they couldn't negotiate with him, so they didn't talk to him for 8 years. 8 years later, the Iranians had 19,000 centrifuges. I mean, the math here is pretty simple. They were heading for a massive ability to make nuclear weapons. The agreement globally achieved put us in a position where they reduced the number of centrifuges, removed some of their fuel, and we have real international inspections. Those are never perfect, but it's certainly better than... If you looked at, we went from 200 to 20,000.
So is Iran a roadmap for North Korea?
Well, I think that's what you got to hope, although the problem is North Korea has less of a governmental structure outside of the...
And they're also further along, are they not, than the Iranians, or am I wrong about that?
It's hard to tell on all of
the capability to deliver
They have the ability to make nuclear weapons, whether they can make them small enough to fit in the rocket and get the rocket to the right place. Now, the question, but you don't really want to test that theory. So... The problem now is the United States president, except for my friend here across the table, doesn't have a lot of credibility internationally. And whether he can get other countries to join with us is going to be very tricky. Even the Secretary of State is thinking about retiring early.
Trump mentioned something about maybe going to do assassinations in North Korea, which I thought was kind of weird to say publicly. I thought you're supposed to do that stuff under the radar. But is that a good strategy? That's what Israel does. They when they felt threatened, they went to other countries and just assassinated the nuclear engineers.
It's dangerous for the United States to set that as a standard. And as you indicated, there's certain things that we shouldn't talk about publicly. But the most hopeful way to deal with this is to find the economic levers. The Russians are hurting. I deal with people in Russia who are involved in business, and they have a real capital crunch since the banking restrictions that were put in by the United States. If we can find other levers on the Russians and other levers on the Chinese And remember, everybody worries the Chinese, oh my God, they have all our money and they're selling us all this stuff. Yeah. If we stop buying Chinese stuff, there's a revolution in China.
It's not going
to
happen.
They need us to keep buying the stuff to keep their people employed. So it's a little bit of a two-way street here. And
so how do we deal with China and North Korea? You think we should put pressure on them, or do we find a way to collaborate?
We find levers, and we got to make them feel confident that we're not just trying to create one country on the Korean Peninsula, even though long-term that would be better for China, but they don't understand that. I mean, the Chinese are deathly afraid of the masses. I mean, they have 1.25 billion people, or 1.5 billion people, I believe, and only 250 million of them are in the modern economy. So with that kind of situation, they're sitting on an explosion that could rip the country apart at any moment.
So how's that figure with North Korea?
Well, you got to find the levers that don't make them uneasy, but that are tough enough to make them...
And what about military action with North Korea?
You know, the problem with military action is you lose a lot of people in Seoul. You know, it's just not...
And do you think... How are they gaming it in North Korea? What do you think is the strategy there?
Well, I think the North Koreans and a number of countries have, you know, looked at this the same way. The United States doesn't invade countries that have nuclear weapons. You don't have nuclear weapons, you get invaded. Have nuclear weapons, they got to talk to you. And that's been the North Korean theory for a long time. And, you know, we haven't invaded them. They're starving their people to death. The country is crumbling. But they're getting everybody's attention. And I think that's the other thing this megalomaniac wants. He wants attention.
All right, any thoughts on that, Harry? You're not allowed to say the word Obama. We're talking now. I was about to start with Obama. What should we do about North Korea now?
North Korea, we should, and Trump was encouraging China to actually assassinate him. But I think North Korea, I don't want to start a war either. I don't want millions of people to be dead over there, because I'm almost certain that North Korea is going to bomb its neighbors. They can't do anything to us. But now keep in mind, overnight, I think North Korea just tested a submarine shooting missiles out of a submarine. So they could get close enough to wherever they want to, and actually, if not strike a city, actually explode it in the atmosphere and cause an EMP that would take out most of the nation anyway. The electronics, the electricity, just bring our whole economy to a standstill.
Until then, you're listening to Dateline New Haven on WNY.
There's a lot of dangers out there. I think we should somehow take this guy out.
Until then, you're listening to
I'm nominating you to go.
And by the way, we should nominate Rodman, right?
Do you think you can take the guy out? You think it's a closed society? How are you going to take the guy out?
We could take him out. It's just the reality of it is that there's going to be some people who are with him who will strike against South Korea.
Sam, what do you think?
And
take out the leader of North
and
Korea?
And China's problem is that they don't want, say we go in and we take this guy out, they don't want a united Korea, right?
So that's what Sam was saying, yeah.
I think taking him out's not going to happen. I mean, if it happens, you don't know the next guy. There's an old, I don't know if you're familiar with the ancient Hebrew Bible, but there's an old saying in the Bible is, don't wish for the death of a king. The next one may be worse.
Mm. But you are listening to Dateline New Haven at WNHH Radio, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenandpenn.org. Today's guest is retired U.S. Representative Sam Gazenson, and also in the house is the bravest man in New Haven, WNHH studio manager and Donald Trump fan.
And by the way, Obama's the one who had a problem with American exceptionalism. He's the one that withdrew.
Okay,
he's the one who wanted to lead from behind. So
okay, let me go to that for a moment, and because that's what,
so why does one of the things that always Obama and him.
One of the things that always astounded me when Democratic presidents tried to do things through the UN, where every penny that was spent wasn't American taxpayer dollars, and every ounce of blood that was spilled wasn't American soldiers, they would say, oh, he wants to lead from behind. But he did lead, and he led in the right direction. He led on human rights, he led on civil rights.
Libya, Syria, where was his leadership?
Okay, let's go to Libya for a second. Four people died in Libya, tragic. Libya's still a problem. The Middle East is still historically been a problem, and not getting better. But 238 Marines died in Lebanon under Ronald Reagan. We had one hearing on security for military personnel stationed overseas. More people died in every administration since. The Republicans are very smart. They say, what's your strength? We're going to make it your weakness. When John Kerry ran for president, they created the Swift Boat people. Here was a genuine American hero, risked his life,
running
did what he was supposed to.
Running against the guy who dodged the draft because his daddy was rich.
Well, no, he didn't die. He was blowing so much cocaine up his nose.
Bill Clinton dodged the draft
also. That he couldn't go to the physical, actually. He was in the National Guard. And so...
By the way, I voted for Kerry.
Well, very nice. Once in a while. Even a stop clock is right twice a day.
more than twice. I was a Democrat. I'm still a registered Democrat. Obama just changed me.
Yeah. So the situation under the Republicans were, they always try to find your greatest strength and make it your weakness. So with Hillary, she had two strengths, Secretary of State and the Clinton Foundation. By the way, one of the best foundations in the history of the country. Let me finish this. Okay, not like the Trump Foundation buying trophies for his family and paying off his debts in court with foundation funds, which is illegal, mm-hmm. but actually helped millions of people around the world, has AAA rating from every legitimate organization that rates things. So they attack the foundation, and they attack the Libya thing, like she killed these four people. She is the one that caused this. Now, the reason we didn't do a lot of talking about it at the beginning...
Benghazi, by the way.
Yeah. The reason that we didn't do a lot of talking about it, we had a CIA station house in Benghazi, and we didn't want to draw a lot of attention to the assets we had in town because that would put them in danger.
So the lies were intentional?
No, the lies weren't intentional. They didn't go into every detail like, you know, every government has done in history to protect our assets.
So saying it was a video.
Pardon?
So saying it was a video and repeating that for 3 weeks after.
Well, I don't know that they didn't think that. The issue wasn't that... The cause.
WikiLeaks proved that they actually took
well, I don't know what parts of WikiLeaks are made up by Russia or their partners in WikiLeaks. So I don't know.
That's the thing about WikiLeaks. It hasn't been disputed by either side. And he's actually attacked both sides.
Yeah. He basically attacks America's freedom and helps the Russians. That's what he does 24/7.
The thing is that there are sins. So.
Right, okay. There are sins. I haven't seen him take on any of Putin's sins. I don't know if Putin's really worth $200 billion. I do know that almost every adversary in the press or in politics under Putin ends up dead or in jail. And no information from WikiLeaks. Why is it only America that needs to have WikiLeaks?
Harry?
Well, I don't have a problem with him coming out against Putin.
But he hasn't.
My thing,
but he doesn't.
Even if he doesn't, the fact is the information he's put out on us is real. So trying to belittle it by saying, oh, he doesn't go after Putin, it still doesn't matter.
Okay, guys, let's talk about age. Howard Dean was in New Haven. He's a former DNC chairman, ran for president, governor of Vermont. He said it's time for the baby boomers to step aside. You had Trump and Hillary running for president, each going to be in their 70s to begin their presidency. You have Joe Biden, who's going to be in his late 70s, says he wants to run
for
president.
He's not a candidate.
Bernie Sanders is saying he might want to run when he's 76 or 77 to start being president. Is this just insane? Dean's point was that one problem for the Democrats particularly is that they're not stepping aside to let another generation of leadership emerge.
Well, no generation has ever stepped aside. The other guy's got to get up and take it. And that's how politics work.
That's how Obama and Clinton did it, right?
That's how everybody did it, historically, from the founding fathers forward. By the way, always a nasty game. When Washington was running for his second term, the opposition said he was an English spy. The charges back and forth against Hamilton and all the members who founded this country and created the greatest democracy in the history of the world were incredible.
Is that what the baby boomers, not that they need to step aside, young millennials need to make up dirt on them?
Am I supposed to go, honey, are you ready to run for office? Can I help you out here? No. You got to get up, you got to go to work, and you got to take it. You know, and I'd love to see a younger generation move forward. They have to move forward, and they have to have some ideas, and they have to have the courage. I think the biggest problem with the Democrats is we've been too timid. And so whether all our solutions... we bought into the deal that the Republican tax cuts, we couldn't do anything about. So with the little money that was left, we did what any humane person would do. We helped the poorest of the poor. And what happened is the people who are just above them said, hey, I'm paying taxes to pay for guys who are poorer than me. And half the people getting benefits, I mean, my favorite, Alexander Pelosi interviewed a guy sitting on a porch and his wife in Tennessee, Kentucky, one of those places. And he said, why do you hate Obama? Said, oh, all those giveaway programs. The wife goes, you're on state aid. He goes, that's different. And so, you know, we've got to get past where we've been. And I think you do that by broader, braver programs. Universal college education, at least the first 2 years, at least at state facilities. If you want to go to Harvard or places that cost 60, 70 grand a year, that's up to you.
Why stop universal after 2 years? Healthcare. Then all these people get halfway through and drop.
Well, you know what? I'd be happy to do all of it. But the reality is, at least if we start them with some funding, makes life. The debt on young people today is crushing. And we've got to find a way to get them into the educational system. We got to do a better job, obviously, of helping educate people about civic responsibility and how a government works, because apparently there's a lot of confusion about that. And I think that's what I wasn't talking to you, Harry, because you apparently have gotten bad information, but at least you have information. But young Americans need to step forward, and they can't wait for an invitation.
How about Jeff Sessions? Do you feel that the biggest danger, as Sally Yates wrote the other week, is that Jeff Sessions would be pushed out and Justice Department's integrity would be compromised because Donald Trump wants someone in who can take back control of the investigation of Russia and not threaten his family with going to jail? Or is the biggest threat that Jeff Sessions continues as Attorney General, continues to try to crack down on immigrants who have done nothing wrong in this country, who, without even being asked, puts an amicus brief in to try to allow companies to discriminate against gay people, trying to nullify police chiefs' own consent decrees to try to limit abuse of citizens by police? Do you feel that that's the bigger danger to our country?
I think they're both very large dangers. I mean, Sessions is a very bad racist who got to be Attorney General and who's clearly been a racist historically, and his policies that he supported have been racist. And to try to say anything else is just denying the facts of his lifelong career. And, you know, the South, they're still fighting the Civil War. They don't call it the Civil War. They call it the War of Northern Aggression. And that's why they want to make sure black people don't vote. Because as less young people are racist, as more black people vote, they lose control of the South, the Democrats control the country again. And if you look at Sessions, the danger is in both. If he stays, it's terrible. And if he goes, there's a danger that Trump will try to get somebody who will undermine
Can
the justice.
Can Donald Trump pardon himself if he gets... if?
I'm not especially a constitutional. You're going to get Akil Amar back here.
You know what Akil Amar said when he came on the show?
No.
He thinks that Trump might win at the Supreme Court on his travel ban and on his sanctuary city policy as long as laws are written to limit the money, as long as those rules are put in the grant.
He thinks
that if he were on the Supreme Court, he might rule for Trump even though he doesn't like the policies, because he felt like the Constitution makes it very clear about the president's ability to conduct foreign policy, and he needs the benefit of the doubt, and that he also believes that as long as Congress writes the laws in advance that tie funding, as long as there's some kind of similar purpose to it, to immigration policy, that they can do that.
I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I know that the courts have held that the federal government can't tie funding, existing funding, to the sanctuary city issue. What happened here in New Haven with, I think the woman was from Bridgeport or something, four kids.
Norwalk.
I mean, it's just tragic. You know, every country has problems. Is our biggest problem getting this woman out of the country with his four American kids?
Even Harry thought she should stay.
Really, Harry? You got some soft spots on you. I could learn to like you, Harry.
So you think
I think both
Sessions
both are
sunk.
Terrible.
No matter how it was, Jeff Sessions were sunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What about Mo? Do you think that there's going to be a Saturday Night Massacre again, as happened under President Nixon when he fired the Attorney General? Who
I don't think the Republicans can afford that. I mean, one, this guy isn't one of theirs. And they don't have guts enough to stand up, except for a few guys, Flake or something.
So what? But Trump is clearly going to do whatever he can.
He's going to try, because I think, and your statement includes the assumption that he's done things that were criminally wrong.
I don't assume that. I mean, in his life,
well,
I'm sure he has.
No. But in this
Russia,
case,
I don't think.
If there isn't anything wrong, why worry about firing the special prosecutor?
What do you think, Harry?
You only have to do it if he's got something that could get him in trouble.
You have an answer to that, Harry?
Yeah, I say fire him, right? Because the Democrats are just using it as a way to basically stop the progression of his administration.
Sort of like Benghazi hearings.
The what?
Sort of like hearings on Benghazi.
Benghazi, Hillary wasn't the president, so who cares about Hillary, right? And Hillary had already left.
And that was the point of the hearings, to make sure she didn't get to be president. Yes, you got it. Okay.
That wasn't what stopped Hillary. Hillary's
No, I didn't say that cost her the election. I'm just saying the point of those hearings
was just to remind people that
was to make sure she couldn't run for president.
No, absolutely. Just to advertise
who
Hillary was.
Except for here we have the president of the United States. If he is colluding with Russian agents,
he's not.
Then you don't have anything to worry about,
right? But so why should we have
right? But Sessions isn't on TV.
So why should we just have an investigation that lasts forever? Because people go, well, we haven't found anything yet. Oh, we haven't found anything yet. We haven't. Well, at what point do we just wrap up this investigation?
What has Trump done to screw up his own administration? And what has Sessions done? Sessions hasn't said a word publicly since he was appointed.
Well, I'm not a Sessions fan.
Special prosecutor.
Mueller.
What is he doing? He's hiring ex-Hillary employees, lawyers, and everything.
Right.
That's all he's doing. He's surrounding himself with Democrats who hate Republicans.
Okay. Trump was gave Hillary money, too. So
Trump was a businessman, just like the mooch who just got fired.
Okay.
So they were just handing money out to advance their businesses.
Mueller hasn't said anything publicly. He's running a very proper investigation.
There's leaks coming out of his investigation.
Well, you know that. I don't know how you know that. You must be on the inside somewhere.
I want to ask what you read. But I do want to ask whether has Donald Trump done anything right?
Well, you know, as I said, even a stop clock is right twice a day, so I'm sure there's some things along the way. But I think the overall effect of his presidency has been negative for America. Negative for Americans domestically, and certainly negative for Americans internationally. Like no president in modern history.
David Frum, the conservative writer, had an influential essay in The Atlantic arguing that what's really the problem, he sees a grave threat in Trump, and it wasn't Russia, it wasn't conservative politics, it wasn't these people bringing back the theocracy on the Supreme Court, which scares the hell out of me. He says it's kleptocracy. He says that when you look in other societies, when an authoritarian oriented leader takes place and uses government to enrich himself and his friends, that's what leads to a erosion of democracy that was hard to get back from in great violence. And he thinks that's the core of the problem right now.
He's debased the democratic process throughout the whole campaign. It's not on the level. It's not
what
fair.
He was talking about is actually the money.
No, I understand that. He's doing that.
Making a point of giving money to Trump enterprises
and
as
to
a
mooch,
way to,
you know, to buy
government.
His stuff.
Yeah,
but he's debasing every part of our democracy. And if you read the founding fathers, this is what they worried about. You know, a rich demagogue coming in and diverting the direction of the country. Undermining the civil liberties, the civil rights.
Italy survived Berlusconi. Can we survive Trump?
Well, I'd say Italy.
We survived Obama. We could survive Trump.
Because the economy was so good.
Obama passed a stimulus package for shovel-ready jobs, and they never were there.
Harry,
he even laughed about it on camera.
The economy was in good shape when Obama left.
So
but it was
Bush,
the
end of the Bush
there.
Years, things were great. At the end of the Obama years, what happened? Did the economy get worse for 8 years under Obama? Harry, the truth,
no,
a little bit
get,
of truth.
It didn't get worse.
Did it get better?
It was stagnant.
You must be on another planet to believe that.
If you look right
if
now.
If you look at employment.
If you look right
if you
now.
Look at
in the
stock
last six
market,
months under Trump, the
right.
economy Limit, has grown.
And what has Trump done?
He's already got rid of about half of the regulations that
irrelevant
Obama put in.
Irrelevant to what's going on.
It isn't. It builds wealth. It actually helps small businesses to create business.
Right.
You see, that's
like,
the thing.
Oh,
that
you know my favorite one is when you can pour coal sludge into rivers.
The economy is the best it's been in 17 years. Check it.
Right.
Okay.
Because Obama built the fundamentals.
The unemployment is the lowest it's been in 9 years.
And
check
every
it.
New
these are things you could go and
every
check.
President,
go and see how good our president
benefits
is doing
from the last president's policies in his first
six months.
It happened with Clinton and Bush.
You could go back to November of 2009. 2008 when Obama won, right? November 2008. As soon as Obama becomes president, November 8th, November 9th, the market crashes and loses about...
But then he rescued the economy. There's no doubt.
Of course. He put money into the economy. The Fed was pumping $40 billion into the stock market every month. Of course. And you know who benefited from it?
Obama.
The rich. No, the rich. The rich actually got richer,
Harry,
under Obama.
I can understand how he likes you, but... You're like a computer with facts with no processor. You take all the facts and you jumble them.
No. He's got facts.
At the end,
like his shovel-ready thing
Harry,
that he never had shovel-ready job.
You brought up
where did that money
fact,
go?
But the big picture was that there were more jobs, more people employed, and the economy improved.
Why
did shovel-ready
jobs... He created more part-time jobs. He caused employers to actually lower their full-time employees to under 30 hours. So there was a lot of 29-hour employees who lost their health care coverage. And then he celebrated that those people who lost their health insurance, they signed up for Obamacare.
Harry.
And then they couldn't afford their deductibles or their copay.
Harry, another argument in favor of single payer.
All right, we're going to continue this argument at another point, but for now, unfortunately, we have to get going. I want to thank you for joining us today in Dateline New Haven. Thanks to our guest, Sam Gageson. And thanks to Harry Jones for mixing it up. Thanks to Yale New Haven Hospital for providing support for today's program. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It'd Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.